This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Today, I feel that the Lord is leading me that we're going to speak about life. We've got life, we've got different spellings of life. You can spell it with the F and with the V, and life is a noun and life is a verb. I live in Seist, and yesterday I watched the soccer game live, just to give you a little bit complication things. But that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about God who is alive. And God has got a plan. He created life, he's alive today, and he wants to be with us forever and ever. So there's going to be a future life as well. First, what I wanted to talk about is the creation. God created life. God is the source of life. The first verse that I want to stop is Genesis 2, verses 7, where it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." All the other creatures, all the other creatures have been created or made. But man was formed, which is differently. Because forming is a gradual process, not evolution, it's a gradual process. And it works with a great accuracy and also with an exactness. And if we take a look at that word formed, it's the same word what a potter is using when he's busy with the clay. So it's a process how God has made man. And then something beautiful, what God has put into the creation, that it multiplies. Multiplication of plants, we can read that in Genesis 1, verses 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, and the fruit that yields seed, fruits according to his own kind, whose seed is in itself on earth. And it was so." So everything, the grass, fruit trees, the plants, the herbs, everything has got seed in it that it can produce again. This morning we were talking about it. We said, okay, what was earlier, the chicken or the egg? If we take a look at this, then we've got to say God created the chicken. He didn't create the egg. Because we can see that God built in each and everything what he has created. He built it in it that it can multiply, that it can become, more. This time of the year, you've got to be very careful where you park your car underneath the tree, because there are a lot of things falling down. So you just have got to be careful, but those are seeds again, that same tree can become more trees. And that's all built into the creation of God. And God also built it into man as well, that we also can multiply. And when God created for Eve, in Genesis 2, verses 23, and then it says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So I don't know if Adam was over there and that he could see over here, there was, okay, this is now where the one rib, where God took a rib out and where he built Eve from. I don't think that it really was like something like that, but it was, what he said. "It's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman." And then the name woman, it actually is Isha. And Isha has got what it is saying, that it is a woman. It is coming out of man. And then the man is, the word is Ish. So it's Isha. So the two words were linking up then together. But that name has changed. Because if we take a look at what Adam was saying over here to, at that time, he said, "She shall be called woman." So that was the name of Eve. But then it changed. After they had the encounter with the devil, then it changed. Then we can read in Genesis 3, verses 20. "And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living." She was the life giver. That was Eve. So there was a name change over there. Very quickly, it didn't go to internal affairs and completed a lot of forms. It was quickly done over here. So first, the name was Isha, and then it changed to Eve. Because now she was the life giver. of all those to come. Adam and man in Hebrew is exactly the same. But if you go on to the Strong's, you will see there's no difference. Oh, sorry, they will say that there's a difference. But in the Hebrew, it means exactly the same, Adam and man. God is a God of life, and his creation can multiply, the trees, the plants, the human beings, we can just become more and more. It was in the beginning in the creation, and that's still what carries on today as well. And if we take a look from the creation, if we take a look at where we now, and I'm talking about, let's say, the Old Testament, then we can see God is exactly the same. The verse what I would like to read is Jeremiah. And then just before that, this verse 10, Jeremiah is talking about what people are making, idols what they are making, idols which cannot see, idols which cannot hear, idols which has got to be, should I say, gold has got to be put on it to give them some life. And then he says, Jeremiah over here, for the Lord is true God. He is the living God. God is life. He's a living God. All the others are dead. There's no life in it. It's just a piece of wood or a piece of stone or something else. This year again, this time of the year, we've got the famous golden calf over here. Why do they take a golden calf? The Israelites were already battling with it in the desert. They knew it was wrong. Why do they do it over here? I don't know. But they make it an idol. If you've got an Oscar, then you're being counted. If you've got a golden calf, then you're going to be counted. No. That's not what's going to give you status. To be able to say, I believe in a living God, and I'm a son of a living God, I'm a daughter of a living God, that gives you status. Not that golden calf, not the Oscar. So if one of you is going to study for actress or actor, it's fine if you get those. And the most important is, go, you are son or a daughter of the living God. And then he carries on in verse 10, he says, but the Lord is true God, he's the living God and an everlasting King. God is not only there for a short period. God is there for ever and ever. Something which our mind can actually not understand. Because God is above time. We cannot work then anything else with time. If it's not time bound, then we are battling. Because if we would say, okay, we're going to come together on Sunday, we're going to have church early, yeah? If we do not put a time to it, and some of them will come at 6 o'clock in the morning and some of them at 6 o'clock in the evening. We are all limited to time, sometimes too much, even me. But God is above time. That's the God that we serve. That's an awesome God. In his wrath, the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, that's now to those idols, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. They're not going to last, those gods, because they cannot last. They haven't created anything. God has created everything. Now I'm going to tell you a story, and it's actually very strange. I couldn't first actually understand it, how it worked. But apparently, the rabbis in the Jewish, with the Jewish background, they take something out of the Bible and they make a type of a story around it. But there's a meaning in this story, and that's why I would like to tell it. Some people have heard it before, and some of them I even spoke to them earlier this week, but I explained it. And it's about Abraham. And I want to speak to him now, and I want to call him Abraham. I don't want to call him Abraham yet, because something has changed in his life. And then he became Abraham. The way that they do it, or the rabbis are writing, they call it the modern midrash. And it's a piece of creative writing. So they write a story, but it has got some of the link to what has happened in the Bible. So there's a link for what actually happened over there. Abraham was in his father's business. And what his father was doing, he was making idols. And it was a family business. His father's name was Terah, who inherited the business from his father, who inherited the business from his father again. It was a family business, and they were doing it for generations. They were designing sobel, they were designing idols, they sold them, and then the best ones were the ones who were actually the more historical ones. The ones which had a little bit of older design, those were the ones which were selling actually the best. And like in every family business, Abram had to help over there as well. He had to help cleaning the shop, he had to help making those idols, he had to help in delivering those idols to the different places. He was involved in that business over there. And then when he was delivering it, then he would help the people to carry that idol and to put it now onto the place, and the people would respect it, that it is such a special idol now which they bought at the shop, at the family business over there. And Abram would just shake his head. What are the people doing? Why are they buying those idols? What is actually going on? Why are they wasting their money and their time on idols? Because Abram knew exactly how they were made. He and his dad, they made them. Then they brought them to the house of the people, and then the people bowed down before those idols. It was just a piece of concrete, or a piece of cement, or a piece of wood, or whatever they made at that time. That was all. At a certain time, a guy came into his shop, 50 or 60. I don't know why you've got to be that age, but okay, let's say he was 60, and he came into the shop, and he said, okay, he's looking for an idol, because he wants to take one home. We can see it here. If we take a look at the shops over here, how many idols are standing around? What people are buying, and they put them in the window, and they think they bring just bringing luck. And then Abram asked him, why are you, at the age of 50 or 60, now bowing down before an idol which is produced the day or 2 days before? It doesn't make sense. We can understand it if something has got a very long history that people maybe will bow down for it because it has built up a certain record. But now to bow down before an idol where the cement and the paint is still wet, it doesn't make sense. So the guy turned around and walked out of the shop again. But now Terah, this is now the dad of Abraham, he had to go and do business on the other side of town. And then he knew that Abraham, it's a little bit dicey to leave him to shop on his own. So he went and he tried to get to the other side of town as soon as possible. But when he came back, he got that gut feeling, wait a minute, something is wrong over here. And when he walked into the shop, it was a mess. It was totally destroyed. Displays were overturned, there were walls which had holes in it, counters were laying on the side, and all the idols were broken. All of them. And he said, who has done this terrible thing? Who has done it? Who wants to destroy my family business? Who hates me? And then Abraham came, and then he said, the biggest idol, he has done it. He took the hammer and he destroyed everything. He destroyed the whole shop. I couldn't stop him. The biggest idol has done it. He smashed everything over there. But then his dad shouted and said, they are nothing but just stone creations. There's no power in it. They couldn't have done it themselves. It's impossible that they've done it themselves. And then Abram asked him, I said, Dad, but why are you selling this stuff? Why are you selling this stuff to other people? What are you doing? And then his dad said, I'm giving the other people that what they are asking for. Abram said, it's just a money-making business. That's all what it is all about. The idols haven't got power. You've agreed with it. You've confirmed it. It's not honesty what you're doing over here. You're selling actually a hope, which is a false hope. So Abraham He left his house, he left his family, he left his palm, his past. And he never looked back again to his past. Because he didn't want that the idols of the past were going to give him a security for the future. And Abraham was prepared to stand up and to say, but what is happening now? What is happening, what I can see, what my family is doing, what is selling those idols, which you cannot put any value in it. It's not correct. I'm walking away with it. And then that is a part. We can see that story from Abraham about his idols has been created. But we'll come back to it a little bit later. We serve a living God. We don't serve an idol as what was in Abraham's shop. Matthew 16. Jesus was asking them, But who do you say I am? And then Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And that's a confirmation which is awesome, that a person is prepared to say, to be able to say that. Son of the living God. It's a living God whom we serve. A little bit later in Galatians 2 verses 20, he says again, it's not Peter, but it's Paul speaking now. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. He crucified the I, the me, the myself. That was crucified. That was not important in his life anymore. I have been crucified. The I, the me, the myself has been crucified. The same way what Christ has been crucified. And it's no longer I who live. So it's not about him anymore. It's not about what he's getting out of it himself. Christ is for him more important. But Christ lives in me. And that's what Paul is saying over here, that Christ is not living in him. And then he also says, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. So inside his flesh, Christ is there. And the Spirit is living in him. Now having a look at what God has created, what we've seen in the Old and the New Testament, then I want to have a look and see what God is going to do in the future. Why has God created us? That we can read in Isaiah 43 verses 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, for God's glory. I have formed him, yes, I've made him. God wants us that we should glorify his name. We should continuously glorify his name. That's what he wants us to do. Because he has formed us, he has made us. And then I want to read a part out of Revelations to give you an idea of the life in future where God wants us to take. So from creation to current, to the future. Revelations 21, 1 verses 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So you think there's a sea in heaven? If you read that, then you say, there's no sea. So those of you who hope that you're going to get a house at the sea in heaven, do you think, according to the scripture, there's going to be a house at the sea for you over there or not? Fortunately, this is a different sea. Because the sea has got a threat. And in some places in the scripture, we also can see that the sea is moving us around, tossing us around. That doesn't exist anymore. There's going to be peace in heaven. So I believe, yes, there is going to be a sea. And hopefully we're going to get a house at the sea. Some sea view and some mountain views as well. It's going to be awesome because if God created heavens in 6 days and he's already busy for 2,000 years to prepare something for us, then it is going to be awesome. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with is going to dwell with us. And dwell means you are staying in the same area. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. No longer any sea. That is, like I said, at a symbolic sense, there's no longer going to be tossing around. There's going to be peace. There's going to be no pain. There's not going to be any crying. There's not going to be anything of the old order. It's all passed away. Okay, so what am I doing with it now? What does it mean now if I've heard now that God has created life? They experienced it in the Bible, and I'm experiencing it now and what is going to be in the future as well. There are two things, and I would like to take the symbol of the cross, which is actually a symbol which has been used before as well. And the most important thing is the vertical one, and the vertical one is our relations with God. And knowing that we are serving a living God gives us peace. It gives us trust. It gives us hope. And I can mention so many other things, what God is giving to us. Because we know who he is. Joy as well. Thank you.
Sorry.
So there's so many things what we can experience from God. And then once we've experienced it, and once it is a way of living, then we can go to the horizontal one. Then we can share it. We can live it out to the people around us. But to live out that God is important for you, that you do not have a relationship with him, it's impossible, because then it's just by human strength what you're trying to do. And that's only going to last a certain period, because there's no place where you can actually hook it on. You've got to, by flesh, you've got to continue to lift it. But if you can hook it on, then it can work. If you know that God is your creator, that God is alive, that you serve a living God, and that you're going to be with him forever and ever, then you can live it out, and you can shine it out, and you can shout it out, is what we've been singing as well. Galatians 5, verses 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And what it says over there is that if we live in the Spirit, we must allow that peace of God, what God wants to put in us, the Holy Spirit, that it can operate in us. And that walking in the Spirit, the walking in the Spirit, it means that we're doing it nearly with the type of a military accuracy. We are obedient. We're doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. We're not telling God what he must bless for us. We're asking God, what is your will? And we do it. If it's God's will and God's plan, then it will happen. And it will be done the way what he wants us to do. And it's also that if we're going to conform to it, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, there's also going to be fruit out of it. The last verse what I want to speak about this afternoon is John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. I am the way. Jesus is the way between man, us, and God. There is no other way. We cannot lift ourselves. We cannot do good works and then be at a certain time that we can say we've got a relationship with God. We've been evangelizing on, was it Thursday during the day? And on Thursday evening we went into town together with the awesome Pretoria Mission team. And it's happening so much. I've heard it happening so many times that if people are thinking that by doing good, that they can be acceptable to God. And if you ask them, are you going to heaven? Yeah. They haven't murdered anyone. They haven't stolen anything. They think they are good enough. And fortunately, we had a few times the possibility that we could share it with the gospel as well with those people. And that we also pray for those seeds which have been planted. I just want to add, there was one guy on Thursday, afterwards I just was shaking my head. He didn't want to have anything to do with God. He simply didn't believe in God. It didn't make him any sense. I tried to speak to him. I said, do you think there's a heaven? I'm not interested. He said, if I'm going to die, I'm going into the ground, I'm going to be some food for that grass or tree which is growing on top of me, but I don't mind whatsoever. He didn't say no to me. He said no to God. He said no to yes. And we can just pray that something is going to happen in his life, that he's still going to make that decision to say, yes, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. And the truth, why God is, for Jesus is mentioning it, is it's so important for the Jewish people because they knew the manna. The manna, they were talking about true manna. They were talking about the true tabernacle. Those were the words which were acceptable for the Jews, which were easy to understand. So it was truth was very important for them. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and he's the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is the life. We are alive unto God, only in and through Jesus Christ. And the word life is based on the word breath. That breath that God blew into Adam's nostrils, that breath is blowing into us each and every day. We've been singing it yesterday evening as well. We're singing it with lungs, the breath that God is giving us, that we can praise his name. He's giving us breath that we can reply and that we can praise his name, that we can glorify his name. I want to close, but I'm going to ask the worship team just to remain seated as well. I want to finish off. Today we are celebrating God again for what he has done. For the creation, what he has done. Because otherwise we wouldn't have been here. God's also walked along with what we can read in the Old and the New Testament with his people, trying to explain to them that we should have a relationship with him. And if we've got a relationship with him, then there's going to be a future. And we cannot keep quiet about it. We've got to share that awesome news that there's a living God. We've got to share it with somebody else. We've got to tell it to other people. There are a lot of idols. I'm coming back to Abraham's story now again. There are a lot of idols what people have got. What they've got to get rid of, what they should throw outside. And once we can get rid of those, maybe we've got some of those in our lives as well, then we can do the same as what Abraham has been doing, that we can walk out, that we can do what God is telling us to do. Today I've got an altar call, a three-part altar call. First one I'm asking, and you can, maybe stand. It's just. You can close your eyes. If you're here today and you've never accepted God as the living God, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you feel that the Holy Spirit is touching you this afternoon, but you've got to make the decision. And I'm asking you to raise your hand, if possible. When I was speaking, and when I was talking about Abraham, and that you felt, yes, in my life, is one of those idols, is one of those stones, is one of those wooden things in my life, but I'm putting all my hope on, which is not the living God. I'm not focusing on God, but I'm focusing on that idol. And you know there's a specific one in your life. And you want this afternoon to make that commitment and say, I don't want to bow down for that idol anymore, which could be anything. But I'm asking you to raise your hand if there's one in your life. I'm going to ask you just now, when you raised, to those who raised your hands, that you can come forward, that we can pray with you. And the last one is the one which the Lord revealed to me this morning when we were praising and worshipping him with a small group. There's at least somebody over here this afternoon. Who is that Abraham? God is calling you. You've got to change your name. You've got to change your name from Abraham to Abraham. You've got to follow him. And God is calling you today. And you've got to make a decision. And God is calling you today to get involved in one of the fivefold ministries. That you're going to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. And it's not going to be something which is unknown to you. You know about it. But I feel that the Lord was speaking to this morning to me and said, this afternoon, I've got an appointment with one person, at least one person over here, who's got to make that decision and say, yes, this afternoon, I've got to make the decision. The same as what Abraham has got done. Smash into pieces all those idols in your life and walk out. He walked away from his family, walked away from his background, walked away from his name. He became Abraham. And the Lord has been speaking to you as I'm talking now, and you feel that it's on your heart. You've got to make today the decision. And you've got to react on that invitation what God is giving to you. God is saying, come, my son, come, my daughter. I want to use you. I want to use you for my fivefold ministry. Maybe as an apostle, maybe as a prophet, maybe as an evangelist, maybe as a pastor, and maybe as a teacher. Maybe you're here and you're from another area and you say, but it's maybe not here. It doesn't matter if the Lord is speaking to you this afternoon. And I'm asking you that you can come forward, that he can anoint you, and that you can change as what Abraham changed. Change your name. Change your background. Walk out of that family business. Walk out of that history which you've got. And walk into something totally new. Put your trust on God. Put faith in him. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come forward. If it's more than one, please do not hesitate. Come forward. I would like to anoint you and I would like to pray for you. And if it's one of the worship team as well, please do not hesitate. Come and stand over here. We can worship a little bit later. It doesn't matter. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you're going to touch the person. That you're going to touch the person who's got to come, who's got to react on this invitation, Father. You've got an appointment with somebody over here in this hall this afternoon. And Father, it's not cheap. It's something very special. You've got an appointment with that person. You say, come. Come, my son. Come, my daughter. I want to use you. I want to use you for my kingdom. Father, I pray that there's going to be time for the Holy Spirit to touch that person, Father. That that person is going to react. Maybe there are more than one. You know whom you were speaking to, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm going to give some time that you can speak to God. If he's speaking to you, do not wait. Do not walk out of here if you're not quite sure, if you felt that the Holy Spirit was talking to you. Do not let that opportunity pass by. I was in the church 1,500 kilometers away from the church where we normally go on a Sunday. And the pastor made that altar call. And that time I was 50, 51, I think it was. I'm now a little bit older. Then I said, Lord, I don't know. Maybe you've spoken to me before. Maybe you've sent me so many messages. Maybe so many invitations. But I couldn't see it. I didn't want to hear that. I couldn't understand it. I'm repenting of it. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm repenting of it in the name of Jesus. And as I was said, amen, the pastor said, Lord is calling you. And it was like an arrow which went into my heart. I knew God was talking to me. I couldn't do anything else. I just stood up. I took Renee. I said, come. Renee said, no, the Lord is calling you. I said, but I'm not going on my own. Come. You're going to come along with me. And this is where it started. If you're here, if you're from another area, it doesn't even matter. If God has got an appointment with you today, then He has got an appointment with you today. But you're going to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. Those who are feeling that the Lord is speaking to them, please do not wait. Come, that we can pray for you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.